They've stepped up several notches, and they're a huge blessing to me. I don't know about the rest of you, but to me, they're my fans. I'm also their fan. Yes, I'm their fan, and they are blessing me inside out, so thoroughly, from head to toe. I'm getting blessed. Hallelujah. They are doing it as it ought to be done. And well done, Brother Kenny. Hallelujah. He's blushing. Let him, allow him a few seconds to blush. Amen. Hallelujah. What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is.
The name of Jesus Christ, my King.
Say what a wonderful name it is.
Nothing compares to thee.
What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is.
What a wonderful name it is.
The name.
The name of Jesus Christ,
my King.
What a wonderful name it is.
Nothing
compares to thee.
I said,
what a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus.
One more time. Equal. You are the Almighty God by yourself. You belong in your own category. Father, we exalt you this morning. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for being a blessing to us all over time. Thank you for loving us as our Father. We love you. We appreciate you. We love you because you first loved us. Thank you, Most High. Thank you because this morning, as we get into your word, you'll open our eyes to behold the wondrous things in your word and will not be the same again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. I know it's a long morning and a long day, so I'm trusting God to go quite summarily. However, church is not about a performance. You know, that much I know. And one of my, well, I won't call it my favorite book, but one of my favorite book titles is one that is written to ministers by a minister, of course. And he titled it, he said, "Brothers, we are not professionals." You know, and I like that title so very much because what he's trying to say is that it's not about professional speaking or whatever. This is ministry. It's absolutely different. When you sing as ministry, it's very different from whatever else anybody does on a stage. So church is not about a performance. It's about human development supernaturally. So we follow the leading of God when we do the things that we do. Can I have an amen? One of the things that, for instance, very quickly struck me, and I kept trying to wave it away that I wouldn't go there, was the discussion and the question that you raised. And I felt God poking me, you know, after that and saying, you know, you never talk about the last step. The last step to forgiveness. The last step to walking in forgiveness, to walking in practical forgiveness. And that last step is also there in the Bible. Not only don't I talk about it enough, many people don't talk about it enough, which is that you have to go out of your way to be a blessing to the person that hurts you. Are you with me? Matthew 5 will have it in there somewhere, is it verse 44 or something? It will have it in there. It talks about the fact that you should pray for those that hurt you. Abby, bless those that hurt you. Pray for those who despitefully use you. That is, do good to those who are hurting you, who are your... have you found in Matthew 5? Just scroll towards the end, Matthew 5, from 40-something. Probably you'll find it in there, 44, 48, thereabout. Yep. So Matthew 5, 44, it says, "But I say to you what? Love your enemies." Okay, so that's step one. Step two is what? Bless. Can I hear you say bless? Bless those who curse you. Number three is what? Do good. Can I hear you say do good? That means when somebody does something and the person has hurt you, do good to the person. So step three is go out of your way to be a blessing to that person. You know, I've heard Kennedy again talk about that before, and he says when he hears people criticize him, and he says somebody criticized your teaching, he said, "I sent the person an offering." He said, when I hear that this man criticized you very much, he said, "Then I will send him an offering." Say, God bless you. God bless you. Amen. So you do good and you pray for those who spitefully use you. You know what? That's exactly what offends us. When you say somebody is using me, you know, somebody is riding me. You understand? That's really what offends us. That does it think I'm a fool? That's really what offends us. And God says, do good to that person and pray for that person. Hallelujah. You'll find the same Romans chapter 12, Romans 12, 17, thereabout. You'll find the same there, Romans 12, 17. And it says, do not avenge. Brethren, do not avenge yourselves. Okay? So it says, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all. We'll keep going down very quickly. If it's possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Next verse. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So all the things of, I have to show him. No. God will show him. Don't bother. That's not your job, that's God's job. Next verse, okay? Therefore, if your enemy, therefore, do you see therefore? Huh? Are you with me, anybody? Can I hear you say therefore? Therefore. What does therefore mean? It means because God is therefore. Huh? Is therefore, why? Because God has taken care of the vengeance side. You understand? I'm fighting for my rights. He said, God, that one is God's side to take care of. Therefore, since God is taking care of that one, therefore, if your enemy is hungry, do what? Not poison, eh? But feed him. Eh? Smoky jollof rice. Are you with me? If he's thirsty, do what? Give him a drink. Which one? Eh? Zobo. Well, Tobi Zobo. I think that one is first class, have you? Yeah, so Tobi Zobo, yes. Otherwise, not Zobo. Okay? So give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Can you move very quickly? Give us NLT in that verse. Very quickly. I'm stressing you out. Very quickly. NLT there. You will... No, you're not there yet. Yeah, so if give them something to drink, and they will be ashamed of what? What they have done to you. God's word translation will also say something similar. You will heap coals of shame on them. You know what that means? It means that the person will start feeling bad. After a while, you are doing good to this person, you are doing good to this person, that person will start feeling bad. Why, what did I even do to this person now? Why am I even like this to this person? You understand? They start feeling bad. Some of them might one day call you and say, you know what, I'm sorry for everything that happened. Some may never call you, but they now start smiling. They now start, it's because the thing has gone and they are feeling bad about it. So are you back in, so it says you make him feel guilty and ashamed. So you feel bad at the end of the day. Okay, back to... but anyway, I think you got the message now. Am I right? Did you get the message? Meaning the last step in walking in forgiveness is not just enough to say, I forgive you in my heart. Is that you have to go out of your way to pray for the person, be praying for that person, and then start doing good to that person. Are you with me? You know, Joyce Meyer, how many people know Joyce Meyer here? I couldn't listen to Joyce Meyer for many years. I'm confessing, you know. I didn't think there was anything wrong with that message, but it just wasn't my style. Some people like Coke, some people like Fanta. I just didn't like Joyce Meyer, and I thought it was a bit watery, the way she delivers me. I just didn't like her style. So I couldn't listen to her for many years. But I realized that she seems to understand emotions, and she's like an emotional doctor. Spiritually, you know, and sometimes I just thought, you know, use your phones and all that very well. So I realized that there are things called podcasts and that you can listen to podcasts. So I said, okay, why not? If you're having a shower, you can be listening to something. If you're in the kitchen, you can be listening to something, you know. It's the same hour you have. That hour can be wasted or it can be productive. It can improve you or it can make you worse. So I said, I'll make it better because there are these podcasts on the thing. So I started browsing different people, you know, people that I knew, which one has podcasts online, which one does it have. So I saw Joyce Meyer. I said, okay, let me download. It don't hurt. So I downloaded, I listened to her, and then she told a story. From that time, I got hooked on her. And she told a story of how she forgave her father and her mother. Her father used to rape her. Okay? And she said, now, I mean, as a minister, she's had to walk away from all that, and as far as she's concerned, she's forgiven. She said, then one day, God told her, God said, I want you to bless them. She was angry with her dad, of course, because of what happened, but angry with her mom because her mom knew and just covered it up and, you know, just leave it alone, blah, 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 blah. So he said she was very upset, both of them, but of course she grew, believer, minister of God's word. She said, well, I've forgiven them. She said, but one day God said to her, you know what, Joyce, I want you to do? She said, what? She said, I want you to build a house for them. And I want you to take very good care of them till they die. She said, then I thought to myself, in our family, they have long life. That, you know, first she thought, why? I mean, I'm okay with them. I've walked away from this matter of forgiving. But why do I have to go out of my way to build a house for them, to do all of those things? Then they won't die quickly. You know, the way our family is. She said, but that was when she realized she had a struggle. But when she did it was when she got free completely of it all. And she took absolutely fabulous care of them. Are you with me? That's that last step. Hallelujah. Hallelujah or Nawao. Which one are you saying? I'm hearing both. Okay, go back with me very quickly. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. So that's what we're in church for, is to learn how to live life in a way that pleases God. That's what John chapter 8 and verse 12 talks about, isn't it? He said, he that is in me, will not walk in darkness, but he will have what? The light of life. He that is in me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He will understand life. He will know how to walk in this life. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Okay, so 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I want to just summarize and wrap up this morning on what I've been speaking about, which is the sex minefield. The sex minefield. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 has been my text, and Proverbs chapter 5, 6, and 7. So I read 1 Thessalonians 4 from verse 3. It said, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, but you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God." That is, they are controlled by their lust, by their passions. The passion just drives them. He said, but you shouldn't be like that. "But no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we have forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit." Amen. So there are several things we've spoken about, and that's just a quick recap. So we've been talking about the sex minefield, and we're talking about that if there's one thing that has a potential of destroying people, destroying destinies, is what I will call illegal sex, or they will say illicit sex or affairs. And there's no time like this time that I've seen where, well, if you say that, sometimes you are wrong, because when you read the Bible sometimes, you see that some things are as old as old can be. You know, if you talk about someone saying prostitution, I see it in Genesis. You understand what I'm saying? You know, so you talk about homosexuality, I see it in Genesis. So there are things that have always been, and the devil seems to have always used this to derail people and get them on the wrong side of God, and actually on the wrong side of their own destinies. Are you with me, anybody? And that's why we've been speaking about this, that the minefield is like a ground that is filled with bombs, but there are spaces there that are not filled with bombs. If you take the right steps, you will not be blown up. Can I have an amen? But if you take the wrong steps, and very simply, what we have tried to lay out is that the right steps are sex has to be confined to marriage, to within marriage, basically. So when you are reading that, it says that that everyone should avoid sexual immorality. If you read the Old King James, it says that you should avoid fornication. By our strict definitions, we talk about fornication being sex between a man and a woman that are not married, that are single, they're not married to anybody. However, God does not really differentiate among all of those details of this one is married to an affair, that one is not. As far as God is concerned, it is what? Sexual immorality, full stop. And God says, avoid it. There are all kinds. Are you hearing what I'm saying? From people who have sex with even bestiality now, to pedophilia, you know, bestiality is those who sleep with animals, pedophilia, those who sleep with children, to all kinds of things. God says avoid anything that is sexually immoral, and that is sex between a man and a woman in the confines of marriage is the legal one where God is concerned. Can I have an amen? Now, very quickly, even without summarizing, because even if I don't summarize, I'm just following directions. And there are certain things that, as I was praying and preparing for this meeting, I felt God was pointing out something again. You know, I started last week by talking about addictions in general and how they work. One of the things I did not say in explaining that at the end is that I said a few things. I said that addictions are things that give you a rush of satisfaction and delight. It's physiological. Something happens in the brain. Okay? But I said that, you know, when that thing happens and it's happening repeatedly, it also connects with your memory, the place that controls memory in the brain, so that you keep remembering and you keep going back. But that's not the only reason why people keep going back to their addictions. They also go back because that thing that gave them an unnatural rush of satisfaction also seems never enough. After a while, what that means is that people start adapting. It's almost like when you take coffee, You know, I don't know how many people drink coffee like me. You know, but when you drink coffee, you find out that if you drink coffee the first time, it feels like, the thing worked. It shocked you. You were alert. But if you start drinking and you continue drinking coffee regularly, after a while, you go from needing one cup to two cups. I think he knows what I'm saying. To needing three cups, to needing four cups, to needing five cups. And at the point, I got to eight cups a day, averagely. Okay? Why was I needing more cups to achieve what I achieved with one cup a while back? Because again, the human body adapts. Okay? I'm removing and taking away all of the medical stuff because you don't need that. Just know that something is happening actually in the brain. Okay? And the body begins to adapt to that rush. Now, the problem in the first place was that that thing that was not the natural way of things gave you an unusually high level of satisfaction. And that's what makes people go back the second time. But that high level of satisfaction, after a while, doesn't seem to be enough. Then the person needs something new again to get that same kind of satisfaction that he is remembering. That's why somebody moves from fornication, are you with me, to doing all kinds of things. People talk about twosomes, threesomes, to go into bestiality. Then you say, how can he do bestiality? Because he's needing something more, something different. Are you hearing what I'm to? In order to achieve what he achieved the very first time. Are you still here? That's why I said that it's like the forbidden fruit. Don't even eat it the first time. Now, I said all that because of this. Proverbs chapter 9, and then I'll go back to what I was saying. Proverbs chapter 9, go to the last two verses. And this is what happens also with the sex thing. I've had all sorts of things. We say, it was so sweet. Oh, I enjoyed it so much. What does the Bible say? Proverbs chapter 9, verse 17. It says, stolen water is sweet. And bread eaten in what? Secret is pleasant. You have that unnatural satisfaction. It's so high. I've had men who went and had affairs and they say, it was so sweet. It's not like with my wife. Because stolen water is sweet. You know, ordinarily, water is tasteless. Abi? So this is poetic. When the Bible is saying stolen water is sweet, it's saying that tasteless, ordinarily, the thing is really tasteless. That's the truth of the matter. It's just like water. It's just the way water should be. Are you hear what I'm saying? But you will think that it's very sweet. You will feel that unnatural rush that is very sweet. Can we talk? Eh? Or the things I've been saying are disturbing you? You know, people wonder and say, that man, how come he was sleeping with the cleaner in his office? And he's the director. Stolen water is sweet. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Water is water. So, the cleaner and his wife, they are both women. Are you following what I'm saying? You are quiet now. So, that she's a cleaner doesn't change that she's a woman. Abi? But why is he going to the cleaner? Because stolen water is sweet. I can't even imagine it. The director. I can. Stolen water is sweet. Are you with me? Bread eaten in secret is pleasant. It's just bread, but it's very pleasant. You think that there's jam on it. Are you with me? But the next verse says, but he does not know. If we read it from upper up, you see that he's speaking about the same things. It says, but he does not know the dead are there, that our guests are in the depths of hell. So that gives you an idea already of the context in which it gave us those things and says stolen water is sweet. Are you with me? So whatever you do for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 1 hour, our guests are in the depths of hell. That's the end of the matter. Are you still there? So we've said several things. I'll just run through some of those things already. So if you're coming for the first time, I won't go into any details because we'll deal with Proverbs 7 and I'll give three key things that should help you to avoid sexual immorality. Are you there? Some things we have already been saying will help you to avoid them, but from Proverbs 7, we'll pick out three things. Can I hear you say three things? Okay, so very quickly from Proverbs 5, okay, this is just a quick recall. From Proverbs 5, we're talking about the fact that you should remind yourself that sex is just for a moment. In fact, in my notes, I called it a fleeting moment. Meaning, no matter how long it lasts, it can't last forever. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's going to last for a bit, whatever bit means to you, but it's going to be over. When it's over, so what? What have you done? What have you lost? What's going to be the consequence? Are you still there? I used to know somebody that, in fact, I won't say some of those details. But one day when she would talk to me and confide and tell me those things. So one day I said to her, because I knew her when she was single, I knew those things, led her to Christ and all of that. And then she continued in some of those things. And I would warn her and say, and she would tell me. And I would warn her. And one of those things, times I was telling her, I said, look, God has been so good to you. Because despite your past and history, you found a good man who loves you and married you. I said, this way you are continuing. Just think about what you stand to lose when this guy finds out. I mean, you have too much to lose. That alone should be scaring you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So, and that should be scaring every single one of us, that you start thinking about the consequences. What will happen if this is found out? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Okay, so number two, if you will avoid fornication, be careful who you spend time with. We also saw that in Proverbs chapter 5, okay, that if you will avoid it, you can look at verse 8 there, be careful who you spend time with. And you can spend time with people on the phone, you can spend time with people physically, so be careful. Don't spend too much time with people if you know, and especially if you know that you have a crush or fanta, then that's the kind of person you need to keep your distance from, not because you don't like them, but because you think that you might get yourself in trouble. Can I have an amen? And it doesn't mean that that person is a devil. It just means that your emotions are playing tricks on you, okay? And in order to be safe, you need to keep your distance from that person. Hallelujah. Good. Fornication can rob you. Number three, can rob you of all that you have ever achieved. And we've spoken about that, including your health, okay? Can rob you of everything. So sexual immorality can destroy everything you've ever achieved. And Proverbs chapter 5 also, we saw, you see that in verse 9 to 11. We also saw in verse 18 to 20, and I'm not sure I really did emphasize that so much, but it's one of the reasons for marriage. Okay? It's one of the reasons for marriage. I mean 18 to 20 is where it says be enraptured with the love of your wife. Okay? So it's one of the reasons for that. And if you go to 1 Corinthians 7, you'll see also that Paul began to encourage and say, look, you belong to each other, that is spouses, and don't deny one another. And he also speaks, if you read 1 Corinthians 7 further down, he also speaks about the fact that if you are engaged to a lady and all of that, he says, do not, and you find that you cannot hold yourself, he says that you ought to do the right thing. Amen? I said, amen. Amen. And don't be ashamed to do the right thing because of that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So don't sit there and say, we are cutting. It says, when you start finding that the hormones are playing tricks on you, Ben, go get married. Okay? And I've said that to many people. I've said that to my friends in the past. And I said to them, they say, oh, I'm not ready yet. I'm still looking for money. And then, bam, the woman is pregnant. Then they are ready. So I say, see, now, you can't ready now. The thing you are supposed to have been ready voluntarily. You know, now you are not ready, emergency. Are you there? Hallelujah. You are quiet now. Are you still with me? Okay, so Proverbs chapter 6, we saw some things in there. Again, about conversations, we saw verse 25, guard your heart. Guard your heart, okay? Guard your heart. So one of, and I was pointing out then, something very, very, very important. Maybe when we do have some things for couples, we'll talk a bit about that. And I said, your most important sex organ is your mind. It's your mind. So for everybody, be careful. How many people have ever read the book Songs of Solomon before? How many people like the book? Eh? Nobody in the choir has read it. You've read it. Do you like it? Eh? It's out there, sir. Eh? Eh? Uh-huh. You are supposed to like it, but you know when somebody says, I'm supposed to? Eh? His banner over us is love. At least you have heard that before. Eh? Full gospel businessmen use that a lot. His banner over us is love. Amen. His banner over us. And then he kept talking about my beloved, me and my beloved, me and my beloved. So it's a very poetic book of Solomon. I mean, very poetic. And some people say don't even read it if you're single. Because he talks a lot, you know, about love and love. But where am I going? There's a phrase that's repeated very often in there. It says, my beloved, do not stir up love until you are ready. The old King James said, do not awaken love until it is ready. Okay? Meaning that don't do things that will stir yourself up except it's the right time. Amen. So as a single person, avoid things that will stir you up unnecessarily. Can I have an amen? Because it's not the right time. You are only going to cause yourself problems. Okay, so guard your heart very, very carefully. Okay, we talked about verse 26, Proverbs 6:26, that fornication reduces your worth. Okay, it says a man is reduced to a loaf of bread. And in all honesty, I've seen people who lost all the respect that people have for them. I'm not even talking about losing things. The Bible talks about wound and dishonor you will get, and his reproach will not be wiped away. How many people went to university here? You went to university. Okay. How many people had any randy lecturer that you knew of? You had any randy, not that you don't, he may not even have taught you, but you all knew that man, and you knew that was a randy lecturer. You know what I mean by randy? The ones that will harass all the girls. I say, until you come here and meet me at this hotel, you are not going to pass my course. Have you ever come across any such? No, you don't know. Anybody? You are not raising your hand now. Now, okay, first, how many people respect lecturers? You respect them. When you say somebody is a lecturer or a professor, you think, wow, that guy is a professor. Now, any of the people you knew of, were they professors? And how did you see him whenever you saw that person? He looked like nothing. Abi? The man looked like he had brought himself low. You were seeing him like this. Wow, that lecturer, very brilliant man. And then you started hearing or seeing some things, and the man's worth was just, that's what the Bible is talking about, that is reduced to a loaf of bread. Not necessarily that he lost money, but he loses value as a person. Are you there? Women do that too. Okay, so like I said, we can flip these things both ways. Okay, there are women I've heard of who had harassed their staff, subordinate, and all of our women do that too, but it just reduces you. No matter who you are. Hallelujah. Okay, so let's go to Proverbs 7 so that we can wrap this up. Proverbs 7. And like I said, I recommend that you will study Proverbs 5, 6, 7. Then on top of it, I will put Romans chapter 6. So I'll take you to the New Testament, which tells you that you are above sin. Hallelujah. Which tells you that you have the capacity to resist sin. The one thing that is common to everybody is that everybody will face temptations. Are you there? But the one thing that is not common to everybody is that not everybody will fall for their temptations, whatever the temptation might be. Okay? So all of us will face all kinds of temptations, but not everybody has to fall to temptation. Okay? So even now, these days, they tell people, and I did have a lady I was counseling some time, but we're not mentoring. And she told me then, one day, we had this conversation, and said, you know, she's wondering that she's a virgin in her late 30s. And how would she feel having that conversation with a guy that might be, you know, interested in her and all that? I said, what are you talking about? I said, the guy should be happy. Should have the highest respect for you. And you are saying it as if it's something of shame. Are you following what I'm saying? I said, why are you talking as if it's something of shame that you're a virgin at what? I said, no, that speaks very highly of who you are and what you stand for. So we're in that time and that age where values are being turned on their heads. Are you with me? But God's word remains the same. You know, so every time you read Hebrews 13:8, and it says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, what it's telling you is that God's standards remain the same. Hallelujah. And one of the things I learned early on is that God is smarter than I am. Are you with me? God is smarter than I am. So whatever God's opinion is about anything must be better than any other opinion. I try to align myself with God's opinion because he knows best. I may not understand it. I may not even find it easy to obey. But I keep reminding myself that God knows better than I do. And as a matter of fact, God knows best. Can I hear you say God knows best? Good. So Proverbs 7, are you there? We'll start from verses 1 and 2. Proverbs 7, verses 1 and 2. Don't worry, I don't like to be turning my head there, but you can put it up for people. Proverbs 7. Okay, so three things I said I'll say to you this morning, okay? We're dealing with the first one. Proverbs 7, verses 1 and 2. It says, my son, keep my words and treasure. Can I hear you say treasure? Treasure my commands within you. Wow. Wow. Treasure my commands within you. That means that you love the word of God. It means the word to you. It's not just about reading the Bible, reading the Bible, reading the Bible. It's about the fact that you think this is a gold mine. It's about the fact that you think that God's word is a treasure. And I dare tell you that God's word is a treasure. It has shaped my life. It has shaped my viewpoint on everything. And in all honesty, I've been in all kinds of places with all kinds of people, and God's word is what has helped me in all of those circumstances. I've seated in high places with very high people, and it's God's word that's dictating my conduct to me. That is telling me how I ought to conduct myself with them, and at the end of the day, they are thinking, this guy is very smart. They are thinking, this guy is very good. They are thinking, I want this guy to be close to me. And I'm thinking this is a very high off person. But why does he want me close to him? Because I'm following what God's word says to do. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Whether God's word says that you ought to speak truthfully, whether God's word says you ought to watch your appetite when you sit with the king. You know, all of the things that God's word will teach you, I follow them. So treasure his commands within you. And then verse 2 says what? Keep my commands and live. And my law as the apple of your eye. Keep my commands and live. Listen, there is no overcoming temptation without storing God's word in your heart. Did you hear me? You are not going to be able to fight successfully again and again and win again and again if you don't start filling yourself with God's word. And people have overcome all kinds of things, from tobacco to alcohol to whatever, by storing up God's word, treasuring God's word, and just keeping that command as the apple of their eye. You know, I told you earlier, I said study Proverbs 5, 6, 7, but I also said study Romans 6. Romans 6 tells you who you are in Christ and tells you that sin shall not have dominion over you. So I tell myself, sin cannot overcome me. Sin cannot have dominion over me. That's who I am. I have the ability to say no to sin. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When you live that way, when you walk with God's word, you will overcome sin or overcome temptations. When the devil came to Jesus, Matthew chapter 4, and he started tempting him. You know, Jesus was tempted. In the book of Hebrews, the Bible says that we have a high priest who was tempted in all forms as we are, yet without sin. So when he says he was tempted, he was tempted. I have actually a teaching, I'm not sure I've taken that here, on temptation. You know, just temptation in general. How you handle temptation. And when he says Jesus was tempted, it means that, you know, when you read Matthew 4, and you read, how many people know the story of the devil tempting Jesus in Matthew chapter 4? You know, I don't know where we got it from, but somewhere in our minds, we picture it like comic, that the devil came, and in the Yoruba movie, they used to have the devil used to wear cloth that was two colors, black and red. One half was black, one half would be red. It is like a gown like this. Abi? Then that's the nicest picture of the devil that we got. Okay, the worst pictures, he has two horns. And somewhere in our minds, we saw the devil come to Jesus like that. And that is Agbada, black and red, with two horns. And said, change this stone into bread. After all, you are hungry. Yeah? Am I saying the truth? How many people see the devil in his Agbada when you read Matthew chapter 4? But guess what? It wouldn't have been much of a temptation, would it? Yeah? How many people have been tempted with anything? You've been tempted with anything at all. You've been tempted to steal meat in the pot. You've been tempted to steal money. You've been tempted with sleep with somebody. How many people have been tempted at all? Don't worry, we have deliverance service for liars after. Because some people's hands are not up, so we'll pray for them after. Now, you know that it won't be much of a temptation. If at that point that you are being tempted, you actually saw the devil standing there in black and red agbada saying, steal the meat. What would you say then? Lie. God forbid. But what was happening? Something was going on inside your head. Abi? But that's the devil now. But something was going on inside your head, and that meat was like it was calling your name. And then the meat had this aroma. Abi? Then you imagined. Are you still with me? So for Jesus to have been tempted, there was no devil in red agbada. Are you with me? He was hungry, the Bible said. He had not eaten for 40 days. And then the thought started occurring to him, because there was no food around. The thought started occurring to him that, maybe it's God. Turn this stone into bread now. And eat. Just turn the stone into bread. But that's not God's way of operations. What did Jesus do? Second time, the devil took him somewhere again, put him on top and said what? Jump from here. He said, jump from here, because it is written that he has given his angels charge over you. Abi? Then he took him somewhere else again. He said, see all these kingdoms of the world, I will give them to you because it has been handed over to me. It was not a lie. Jesus knew the truth. Abi? Because if he didn't know, the devil can't tell him that and it will be a temptation. The devil was telling him, and the words are carefully written. He said, it has been handed to me. When was it handed? In Genesis, when Adam did what he did, when he fell. Adam was in charge. But Adam handed it over to him. So when he came to Jesus and he said, look, I will give all these kingdoms to you because it has been handed to me. It's not a lie. Just bow down and worship me. It's not a lie. So Jesus thought about it. And when he says he was tempted, it means that he thought about it. He thought about it. After all, I came to win the world back to God. So, just bow. And we will end this thing quickly. Instead of cross. Do you understand what I'm talking about? This one that God said they will beat you. Then they will nail you to the cross. Because he knew the scriptures. He knew what the prophets had said. He said, but just bow down and get the same answer. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Those were the temptations. But how did Jesus overcome? He said, it is written. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. It is written. It is written. If there is no word inside of you, overcoming temptation becomes doubly difficult. Are you there? It becomes very difficult. There are things that as you study them, as you read them now, when you face a temptation, a scripture will come back to you. And that scripture will tell you what to do, including flee. Are you hearing what I'm saying? you will suddenly start remembering things. You may remember a scripture about hellfire. Then you will tell yourself, are you with me? But the word of God inside of you will serve as security or as a strengthener that helps you to overcome. Can I have an amen? Second thing I'll say to you today, well, of course, we didn't read any of the chapters in full, but I recommend you read them for context, okay? Verse 10. It says, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and a crafty heart. Sorry, let me check something I want to be sure. Okay? The appearance of a harlot and a crafty heart. Okay? Second thing is what? Appearances matter. Okay? Appearances matter. In fact, there's a proverb, I can't say it the way it was said. Somebody just said it to me in the last 2-3 days or again. But there's a nice way they put it. I think in French, there's a nice way the French put it, but it says that perception is greater than reality or something like that. Meaning what you perceive something to be. Okay? When it comes to these matters, don't wait to find out. Okay? He talked about the appearance of a harlot and a crafty heart. Now, the crafty heart is the most important. I will agree with you anytime, any day. Are you with me, anybody? But when you see the appearance of, don't wait to find out what the heart is like. Do you understand what I'm saying? I said you understand me. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 talks about flee every appearance of evil. When something looks like it, flee. Just flee. Ah, but he's actually a nice guy. Ah, but he's not really like that. But the appearances that I'm seeing don't look like they are just innocent. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And I don't want to find out. Are you still there? I think I saw on your, was it your status? A while back. It's the first time I heard it. So when I say some of the slangs now, they're laughing. It's the things you people put on status now. That's how you know some of these things. When I say hook up, the other time you were laughing. Where did I know? I see. Are you there? So I saw, you're wondering what I saw. I will tell you. I saw, let's Netflix and chill. I said, let's Netflix and chill. Let's Netflix and chill. Don't waste my time or something like that. I mean, what did you write? Very correct. That's flee every appearance of evil. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:22 that you just put there. Are you with me? Actually, recently, somebody was telling me about a single guy. This guy, seemingly they've introduced them. This guy will be kind of interested in this lady. First time they were supposed to go somewhere, the guy was late, very late. Second time, the guy says, in fact, he didn't even show up. He went to go out, you know, and he didn't show up. And then he says that, I mean, he didn't send any message. He just didn't show up. And then the next day, they are talking and he say, oh, he had a lot of people, he had visitors, you know, in his place. That's why he couldn't make it and all of that. Then he says to the lady, just come, let's Netflix and chill. I say, alarm. run for your life. Run for your life. That guy has nothing serious to do with you. Are you with me? Appearance of evil. Are you still there? So flee every appearance of evil. Okay, verse 14. I hope you get it in context. Okay, so that you don't just take the sound bite and all of that. And people say, well, are you also accusing women and women's dressing? We can accuse everybody, both men and women, even when it comes to dressing. Are you with me? But I don't want to go down that road because we won't have time to deal with that one. You can go and read about what you can wear or not wear. I think a bit of that I did on what? Of lipsticks, trousers, and earrings. So did a bit of that about people's dressing and doctrinal issues around that. But you know, I discovered many years ago that I was in the university And I came, of course, you know the way the rooms are in the dormitories, in the hostels. Three of us were in the room plus one squatter, making four of us. And these guys were real happening guys. Actually, that year, I told myself I didn't want to stay with anybody I knew. I wanted to stay with guys who were not saved because I wanted to influence them. That was my orientation that year. So they did all sorts. They would go to parties. They would do all kinds of things. They were the happening boys. But I knew them from my old school, but they were happening boys. They were not Christians like me. And I would come back from class very often, you know, sometimes middle of the day, and you meet the door open. All their friends are in there, and they're all gisting and talking and chatting. So one day I came, I saw them, I just backed off, you know, and left, moved away. But I could hear what they were saying. There was a lady around that day, and the lady was telling them, you know, these are the things that turn me on when I see a man's chest, and I see hair on the chest. You know what I told myself? Never go bare-chested. You understand? Whether your hair is small or plenty. But I told myself, don't be going bare-chested where a woman is. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So you think that it's just a man that is turned on because a woman wore miniskirt or all that? But I realized that, so a man's dressing can be a problem. So when somebody also dresses up and he opens all the buttons up to here, it can be an appearance of evil for you as a lady. Can I have an amen? So you flee from that kind of guy because whether it does that to you, you understand? So you know that this kind of guy, I need to be careful around him. Hallelujah. You know, when we finished that year, one day they were gisting. And one day they were gisting that day and they were all telling themselves, you know, if you become president. Yeah, I said, yeah, I become president. I'll make you minister of finance. You'll be minister of, minister of enjoyment. So that doing, I'm making minister of religion. But I told myself, at least they are getting something. That this guy stands for something. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Good. Verse 14. Verse 14, very quickly. Verse 14. So she says, I have peace offerings with me. Today I have paid my vows. What am I driving out here? Again, you have to read all of the context. Is that don't let your guards down simply because you think that you are in a religious, environment, or you are dealing with a religious person. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The rules that we are talking about will always apply. Can I have an amen? Those rules apply. So even if the person is born again, I'm not saying he's pretending. I'm saying he's born again. Then all of these things we have been talking about will still apply. Are you hearing me? You still have to watch how close, how much time you spend with him or with her. If that person awakens something inside of you and you know that you are not ready. Are you still hearing what I'm saying? So all of the rules that we have been talking about will apply. You still have to be on your guard. Hallelujah. You know, there were two primary things that Samuel's children, if you read the book of Samuel. Samuel was the prophet and priest back in the day in Israel. And he was also king because there was no king. Okay, they had Samuel as the priest, they had Samuel as the prophet, and then they demanded for Saul to be made king, or they demanded for a king. And then God said, go and anoint Saul to become king. Okay, and Samuel was upset and all of that what are these people doing? And God says, no, they have not rejected you. They have rejected me. So God was saying, I'm the real king that they had, but they want to be like other people. Okay? And Samuel's promise to his generation was that they were going to be priests before the Lord. The children failed, and two primary things they did wrong. One, verse 22, the Bible says, 1 Samuel 2:22, the Bible says they were laying with the women in front of a temple. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They were laying, and I can't go into details, but we have seen things. And what am I driving at? That when you see religion, don't remove all of your guards. Are you hearing me? All kinds of things. In fact, if you check the internet, you see all kinds of things. There's even a woman too who is supposedly a prophet in a congregation, and was actually asking people. The men were coming and saying they should suck her breast. I didn't make it up. It's on the internet. Video. And they were coming and sucking her breast, that her breast has the milk of prosperity. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So foolishness gone to sea in the name of religion. And what I'm saying to you is that don't allow it, okay? I can tell you things, many stories, not just from the internet, but things that I've seen and I know about. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But what I'm saying is that God's standard remains. And the fact that she's saying, I paid my vows, I'm religious, and all of that, doesn't mean that you don't still stand your ground and protect yourself. Can I have an amen? Hallelujah. Okay, very quickly. Last thing we'll look at is the last six verses, from verse 21. Okay, Proverbs chapter 6 from verse 21. Let's read it from verse 21 down. It says, with her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. So, again, you can recollect some of the things we have been saying. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. You can also change it to, with his flattering lips. Immediately he went after her, as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Till an arrow struck his liver, bam! As a bird hastens to the snare, like, what do you call it? Dekute Magolo. But Dekute Magolo is even fine. The Ekute will be alive. I mean, there are those ones that will just snap, bam, on the Ekute. Bah, they just killed the Ekute. He didn't know he was going there until the thing hit. You are familiar with that sound, Abby? When that thing, that's the way it works. That's what the Bible is telling us. Okay? That when the thing hits you, the consequence, you'll be like a kute caught in a mousetrap. Okay? Till an arrow struck his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare, he did not know it would cost his life. Now, therefore, listen to me, my children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to our ways. Do not even stray into our paths. For she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were what? Say it out loud. All who were slain by her were what? Strong men. A house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death. What's my last point? Don't overestimate yourself. Okay? Don't overestimate yourself. Take all of the warnings we have been dealing with. Take all of the steps we have been talking about, and don't overestimate yourself. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Why? It says the people that were cast down by her were actually strong men. Strong men. Galatians 6 talks about that, verses 1 and 2. It talks about if a brother be overtaken in a fault, ye that are spiritual, restore him in the spirit of meekness, watching yourself, so that you also are not caught in the same. So you don't fall for the same thing. So you are the spiritual ones. He said, but watch out for yourselves too. Don't think we are fine. We are the ones even helping him to stand on his feet again. No, 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 no. Everybody must watch out. Can I hear you say everybody? Be careful at all times. Don't overestimate yourself. And don't underestimate the devil. Hallelujah. Let's stand on our feet this morning. Did you get anything from this series? I recommend you go over it again and again from time to time. Hallelujah. From time to time, go through it again, listen again, and let it reset certain things. But much more than that, I said read the Bible. Proverbs 5, 6, 7, Romans chapter 6. Much more than that, read it. Romans chapter 6, if you understand Bible interpretation, you read Romans 6, Romans 7, Romans 8 together. Together. Because Romans 6 tells you who you are in Christ. Romans 7, Paul was talking about his struggles before he knew Christ. And he said, oh, wretched man that I am. The things I want to do, I do not do. The ones I don't want to do, I find myself doing them. He said, who will rescue me? That's the way he ended Romans 7. Who will rescue me from this body of flesh? Who will rescue me? Then he started chapter 8. And he said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. He said, because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. Laws are compulsory. So he said there is a law called the law of sin and death. It means that it's compulsory. When it comes into force, you fall. You are subjected to that law. He said, but there is a higher law. It's called the law of life in Christ Jesus. I just landed on a plane yesterday. As we got on the plane, a colleague and I 2 days ago, 3 days ago, he was counting. I need to pay more attention to some of those things. But he was counting and he was saying, how many people on this plane? And he counted and he said, we have almost 400 people. 400 people. And we're going to go up in the air. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We're going to go up in the air. And we're going to stay up in the air for hours. And we're going to come down voluntarily. Huh? And yet there is the law of gravity. Huh? That says what? Lala to loke ile lumbo. Abi? Everything that goes up must come down. That's why you jump up and you come down. And yet this plane will go up with 400 people, with bags, with all sorts, and it will stay up. Why? Because there is another law that comes into force. Abi, which law is that one? The law of lift. Uh-huh. So, at a certain point, that plane will engage a higher law than the law of gravity, and if you use it to fly for hours. The Bible says there's a law of sin and death, but there's a higher law. It's called the law of life in Christ Jesus. And it makes you free from the law of sin and death. Like the law of lift makes you free from the law of gravity. That higher law ensures that the law of sin and death can't hold me. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Take your moment and talk to God this morning. I don't know what you heard. I don't know what matters to you. But just take a moment to digest a little bit further what you heard. And to make some decisions. And to make some dedications. Some commitments. Quality decisions before God. And if you are here this morning, we talked about the law of life, but it is in Christ Jesus. It only applies in Christ Jesus. Only. Ephesians 2 talks about the fact that everybody else who is not saved, from verses 1 and 2, says that they are subject to the directions of the God of this world. That's the law of sin and death. But when you're in Christ, you stop being subjected to that. 1 John 5:19 talks about that everybody is held in this world by the wicked one. He said, but we belong to God. If you're here and you need to make Jesus the Lord of your life, whether you're doing it the first time or you think that you need to do that again, because you know within your heart that you don't have the peace, that you know God as you should, that you are walking with God as you should. You just don't have that conviction that if you were to die now, you are ready to face God. But you want to have that conviction, you want to have that peace in your heart that yes, you can face God no matter what happens, no matter when it happens. And then that's possible. Now is the time of salvation, is what the Bible declares. Now is the time of salvation. So if you are in any of those categories, first time, or you want to do it again, put your right hand on your chest right where you are. Thank you for those hands. Anybody else joining them? Thank you for those hands. Now tell him very quickly this morning. Tell him, Lord Jesus, I come before you. I confess you as my Savior and my Lord. I confess you that you died for my sins. And you rose again so that I might have peace with God. I confess it because I believe it. And I'm making a dedication today that my life will be yours. True and true. I commit to you. But with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my might, I will love and serve you. Thank you for accepting me this morning. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for granting me peace with God. Amen. Father, thank you for everyone who said that prayer, whether they are online or they're here. Thank you for drawing them. Thank you for saving them. And thank you because you'll keep them. You will help them. You'll help them to grow in Christ. You'll help them to walk the straight and narrow. You'll help them to please you all the days of their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.